Abiding in Christ. The last couple of weeks we have been talking about this idea of abiding in Christ, who is the vine and we are the branches. That is, if you are one of Christ's children, you're not just spoken of as a child of God, you are spoken of as a branch who grows out of Jesus Christ the vine. And you need to be part of that branch. You need to grow out of Christ's goodness. Okay? And these are some of the things that we've talked about in the last couple of weeks. Jesus speaks to his disciples, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples in the last conversation he has with them before he goes to the cross. That very night he was going to be betrayed by Judas. In fact, Judas at this point had left. He had gone out to find the Pharisees to betray Jesus. So this is the last conversation he has, and he has said to his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay, you come off me. Okay? He who abides in me," you are part of Jesus Christ the vine. "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." Okay, and Michael and Mark in the last couple of weeks talked about bearing much fruit. Again, it says, "I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." That is, it'll be a lasting fruit. So, if Jesus is talking about bearing fruit, then there's a few questions which arise, because that doesn't come out quite so clearly at the top, but it said bearing fruit as a member of Jesus Christ, being part of Jesus Christ. In your life, if you are connected to Jesus Christ, how's that fruit going to work its way out in your life? Okay? How do you expect it to look in your life, bearing fruit because you are part of Jesus Christ? Okay, what's your life going to be like? And then also think about just the context here. What was life going to be like for the disciples when Jesus was speaking this? Because Jesus has just told them, "You're going to have to bear fruit in my name." And what was life going to be like for the disciples? And then, having said, "Abide in me and I will abide in you and you'll bear much fruit," he then goes on to say these words, which we'll read now. John 15, 18 to 25. He said, "Abide in me and you'll bear much fruit." And then he says, "If the world hates you," it's kind of a bit of a sharp change there. "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, 'A servant is not greater than his master.' If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin." He's talking about the people who are going to be persecuting Jesus and also the disciples very soon. "But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, 'They hated me without a cause.'" There's going to be times where, if you have followed Christ, then you'll face opposition. And this is really what Jesus is talking about to his disciples here. In fact, they are about to face the greatest opposition that they would ever face. And Jesus is speaking to them and telling them, you have to be ready for the fact, if you are a Christian, that life as a follower of Christ is not going to be a simple and easy affair. Life as a follower of Jesus Christ, because Jesus gives you life, does not mean that everything will be smooth. In fact, Jesus goes from saying, "Abide in me and I'll abide in you and you'll bear much fruit." You think, yeah, good. And then he goes straight into a warning. And this is what he warns them. Jesus warns those who follow him, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. You think about this. If you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you are following someone who was hated. And therefore, you have joined yourself to someone who is hated, and therefore you too will be hated. Jesus needed his disciples to know that, because that very night they were about to be tested, they would fail, and then they would actually regroup and come back and they would die a death for Jesus Christ. Every single one of the disciples would die a death for Jesus Christ. So Jesus is keen to warn them straight up. He says, this path that you are following as a follower of Jesus Christ, this life, you need to know that it is going to turn the world, that is, those who don't follow me, everyone else who doesn't follow me, against you. He says it's like this. He says, it's kind of like changing teams. And if you change teams, then you can expect a response from the opposition. Sometimes you see a sports star and he's been with the team for a long period of time, and then for a lot of money he goes over to a different team. So the next time he comes back to Suncorp Stadium or something like that, he gets booed and hissed, and he makes sure he gets given special treatment by the front rowers or something like that. Okay? Because he changed teams. Now, that's just a sporting team. Imagine if it was a battle. Okay? Imagine if you were serving a king, the king of this world, Satan. Okay? And then you changed sides. You went over to the other side and you served the Lord of all the universe, Jesus Christ. You can expect that next time you meet followers of Satan, prince of this world, that there will be opposition. And Jesus says you need to expect that opposition. He says, if you were of the world, that is, if you were part of that group, part of this group called the world, which means those who have their focus on the world rather than heaven, Jesus Christ's kingdom, if you were of the world would love its own. If you're part of them, they'd love you. But you're not. Yet because you are not of this world, he's talking to his disciples, but I chose you out of the world. Jesus reached down and grabbed these disciples and picked them to be with him. Therefore, the world hates you. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, if you can rejoice that Jesus Christ has lifted you up out of that pit, you must expect that you will face opposition. Because you have changed teams. You have changed allegiances. You have gone from serving the prince of the power and the darkness of this world to the Lord of all the universe, who he hates. So you must expect opposition. This is a hard thing for the disciples to be hearing. But Jesus has more. He said this. He says, it's not just that you're going to expect opposition, but really, how could you expect anything less? After all, I'm your master and I am facing opposition, therefore why shouldn't you face opposition? He says, if you're going to follow my path, if you're going to follow the path of righteousness, then you're going to have to follow it the whole way. You're going to have to follow all of Jesus' path. Right to the end that it takes you. You don't just get to choose the bits and pieces that you like. You don't just get to choose the wonderful freedom that comes with being saved and yet reject the fact that you are going to face opposition. You don't just get to choose the forgiveness of Christ and yet not identify with Christ when Christ is persecuted. He says this to his disciples in verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. That is, it's not actually about you, it's about me. People who hate me will hate you. People who love me will love you. Okay? See, if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Those who love me, they'll love you. But those who hated me will hate you. Why? Because you are the servant of the Most High God, and if people hate the Most High God, then they will hate his servants. So you need to know this. If you are a Christian, if you are considering becoming a Christian, if you've been a Christian for a long time, maybe you just need to be reminded of it. You have to follow the whole path, not just all of it. And the path leads to a destination that Jesus chooses. It's for your good. And yet, it will definitely be painful, because Jesus himself suffered painfully in the world. But this is what you need to remember. This is what you need to remember. It's just not about you. It really isn't. If you are persecuted, if you are hated, because you proclaim the name of Christ, then it better not be about you. It better not be because you are just an abrasive character and you're speaking in a way that just makes people hate you. It needs to be about Jesus. It needs to be about his gospel. You share the love of Jesus Christ. You show the power of Jesus Christ in your life. You show that Jesus Christ shapes your life. And when you have the love of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ shapes your life, it will cause opposition in your life. But all these things they will do to you, opposition, persecution, for my name's sake. It shouldn't be about you. It's not really about you. It's about Jesus. Because they do not know him who sent me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And you know that if you are living in good conscience towards Jesus, then you can suffer like Jesus with strength. You can live a life where life is difficult, where you have people who mock you or perhaps despise you because of your faith. But if what they despise you for is your wonderful faith in Jesus Christ, that faith which God gave you as a gift, which has saved you and brought you into a right relationship with him, then let them despise you for that and that alone. All these things they will do to you for my name's sake. You have to understand what the disciples were going to go through. They didn't understand yet. They didn't know. Jesus knew in his heart and mind as the Son of God what they were going to go through. We're told later on by Paul that the disciples of Jesus, some of them would have been these very 11 men, were beaten, stoned, sawn in two. We know that John, the disciple who actually wrote this book, was boiled alive in a pot and yet didn't die. We know that Peter was, or at least tradition has it, that Peter was crucified upside down. Jesus knew all this. It says, but all these things they'll do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If you're a follower of Christ, then Jesus suffered for your sake. And that's a wonderful thing. Jesus died on the cross, a painful death on the cross, had the nails through his hands and feet, the spear in his side, the mocking of the world, people spitting and cursing on him, the thorns in his head, for your sake. A servant is not above his master. You will also suffer for Jesus' sake. I doubt very much. In fact, I'm certain that you'll never suffer as much for Jesus as what Jesus has suffered for you. And yet, Jesus will call you to that path at some point in your life. And then he says this. Wait, hang on. He talks about those who are actually going through the persecuting. Now, when you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, you should want the people around you to be saved. There should be a compassion in your heart even for those who are persecuting you. And Jesus knows that the very next day there will be those who come and persecute the disciples. In fact, it was going to be that very evening persecute the disciples and kill him, and the disciples would be scattered. And he says, look, these people, the ones that are coming to do this, they actually have heard all of what I have to say. They have seen the miracles that I have done. And you need to know that what they have heard and what they have seen will actually condemn them if they reject me. You're going to be persecuted by people. And this is what he says about people who will be persecuted. If I had not come and spoken to them, the people who are going to do the persecuting, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Because the Jews said they were just killing Jesus, they weren't hating God the Father. But Jesus is saying, no, if you hate me, you hate God the Father. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. They would have an excuse. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. These Jews that were going to crucify Jesus, the fact that they had seen all of what Jesus had done, the fact that they had heard all of what Jesus had said, that knowledge would be like a millstone round their ankle when they are condemned to hell, and it would just sink them deeper into hell. This is important for you to know. You cannot make a light decision to follow Jesus Christ. The knowledge that you have, even by coming here to hear the word of God, will either be for your benefit or to your condemnation. It is a really powerful thing to hear the word of God. Because this isn't me speaking to you. It's the word of our Lord in heaven. And what you do with that will be to draw you nearer to God, or will actually condemn you for what you've heard and rejected. So that's important to know. It's important to think about the way that you respond to what you hear tonight, and when you have also heard the word of God at other times. But he ends this way, at least in this section. And it's worth knowing and remembering that it's not about the suffering. It's about the purpose behind the suffering. And he's talking about it, he's talking about the fact that he's going to suffer, and the disciples haven't really figured out what he's talking about yet, and they're listening and they're scared, but they haven't really grasped it. And he's just sort of showing them that tomorrow there's going to be massive amounts of persecution and suffering. And then he says this, but this happened, Jesus is speaking as though it's already happened. This happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Jesus has come. He has spoken the truth. He has shown them the kingdom of God. He has shown them the power of the Son of God. And they have hated him. They're going to murder him tomorrow, and they will be condemned for it. But Jesus says, it's so that the law will be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. There's actually going to be a greater purpose in Jesus' suffering. God has a greater purpose in suffering. Jesus was to come, and it was written that he would come. It was not just about what would happen the next day. It was about the fact that people would be saved. It was about the fact that it would draw a clear line between those who believed in the Son of God and those who hated the Son of God. It was about salvation. Jesus' suffering was for salvation. It had a purpose. And when Jesus calls you to suffer, it is with a purpose. It's so that you will be more and more like Christ. It's so that you will follow the path of your Saviour, Jesus Christ. It's never just for the sake of suffering. It's never without purpose. So I hope that when we come to think about our lives as followers of Christ, if indeed you are a follower of Christ, when you see a path ahead that is dark, you're not put off by that, because Jesus followed a dark path, and you are bound to him like the song that we sung, and being bound to him as though he is the master and you are his slave, is not a source of great sorrow and trouble. It is in fact the source of your salvation, and it's the source of great joy and comfort, even though you pass through dark paths on the way to his mansions in glory.